Good evening and welcome. On behalf of the Israel Desk, I want to thank you for being here. The Alliance for Progressive Judaism and the Israel Desk itself encompasses many members that bring this position to life, including both Reform Judaism and Liberal Judaism. We have Friends of Leo Beck Haifa. We encompass Friends of Progressive Judaism, Artzenu UK, formerly Pro-Zion, which we heard a bit about last time. And tonight we're really focusing on community here in the Redbridge area. So we have with us this evening Shaliach. He'll explain more about his journey, and one of our wonderful local rabbis. So I'm going to turn it over to them to do a full introduction, and we will enjoy the evening together. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, welcome to you all. I am Rabbi Richard Jacoby, one of this synagogue, the East London and Essex Liberal Synagogue's two rabbis, and I'm delighted to be in conversation this evening with Oded Gvaram. And during the conversation, we will learn more about Oded's story and his relationships with his homeland. But he is here because his current role as Shaliach, an emissary of the State of Israel, is to the London Borough of Redbridge's Jewish community. Now, our interview is going to be in English because our Ivrit is far worse than Oded's English. And I hope everyone who's listening, wherever you are listening, will be forgiving if we have to work together to find the vocabulary that we need as we discuss some of the matters that are coming up. The conversation between Oded and me will last until around 8:15 p.m., after which we will take questions. For all of you using Zoom, please submit your questions to our moderator to carry as and when something in the conversation inspires or excites you to raise that question. She will feed the questions in, although we cannot guarantee having time to take all of them, we will do our best. Those who are in this synagogue building themselves can also hand deliver questions to Carrie. So, Oded, I know that you grew up in a kibbutz community. Please, could you give us a feel for what your upbringing was like?
Yes, so I'm very excited to be here. And as you said, I grew up in a kibbutz, and the name of the kibbutz is Nir Galim. It's a kibbutz near Ashdod. It's between Gaza and Tel Aviv. And it was a very unique place because a lot of the kibbutz in Israel are very secular. And I grew up in a place that is, in one hand, it was a place that everybody get the same salary. You needed to place decide where you're going to work in the beginning. And as a child, I need to go to work in the field if I want to go to a trip. And it was a very socialist place. But in the other hand, it was a Orthodox religious kibbutz. So we had a lot of religious thing as well. We went to the synagogues. We practiced all the religious. So it was very a unique place because you have both of this identity in one place. And actually, it's built a unique identity of Judaism, and it's something that was with me all the time. For example, when I went to the yeshiva, to high school, I was coming with my own unique identity, and I brought it to a place that most of the people didn't come with my kibbutz background. Most of the people that was in the yeshiva coming from the cities. Mm-hmm. So it was very unique place for me to grow up. It was a lovely place, and it gave me a lot of things that in the future I will use when we will discuss about the future. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, because the next question I really wanted to ask you is, How do you feel that that kibbutz upbringing has informed your adult life?
So I think that when I decide to be a social worker, it was very affected about what I learned in my house and from my parents and from my grandfather and from my religious background, because always we always learn about tikkun olam, that we need to make this world a better place. And it's something what is was very strong in our identity when we went to Bnei Akiva and we learn about Judaism. Tikkun olam was a main thing that we learn about when I was young. So this mm-hmm. is one of the things that led me to learn social work in Israel. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So. You trained to do social work about 11 or 12 years ago?
Yes, something like that.
So straight from the kibbutz to social work?
So when I finished my yeshiva, I went to do 1 year program before the army in Atzmona. It was in Gush Katif. It was a settlement in Gaza. And it was a lovely year for me. After that, I went to the army. I was a tank commander in Israel. Most of the time, I trained new soldiers in the south. After the army, most Israelis doing one gap year, you can say, and mm-hmm. They're going taking a big trip abroad and decide what they want to do with their life. And I decided I'm going to do my gap year in Israel. And I went to work in a youth village in the north, and I have I had my own group that was very unique, because it was people that came from Russia and people came from Ethiopia to Israel, and it was one group together. It was the first group in the youth village that was combined both of these places. Usually, it was just people that came from Russia, or just people that came from Ethiopia. So it was a very good experience for me, and it was a very unique experience for the youth, for the village youth, because it's the first time that we need to think how we can celebrate two of this culture together in one group during this year. So when I start to work with youth, I thought to myself, oh, now I want to do it properly. I want to do it better. So I decided, oh, I need to learn something. And then I decided I'm going to work to learn social work. And I didn't know a lot about social work when I went to learn it. I just wanted to have like a tool that I can use to work with people. And when I went to the university, I went to Hebrew University in Jerusalem, I started to know more the field that I'm now doing. It's a community social work, community organized. And then I understand that in social work you have values that you use to make your change. Social worker believes that we need to have equality, that we need to have people the right to several things in a society. And it started to be more and more something that I believe in. And I didn't have it in my back. Like, I have it when we talk about the kibbutz, it was in my background, but it's not something that I understand that it's connected to my identity. And when I went to the university, then I understand that what I learned in my kibbutz, it's similar than what I'm doing as a social worker. I'm making tikkun olam, I'm making change mm-hmm. in the world. And it was a very, very strong experience for me. Because when I started the university, something very big happened in Israel society. So What happened is that 20 years, we have the same agreement with the government, and people, and this is why the reason why the salary for social worker was so low, and still so low, but we'll talk about it, but it was so low because 20 years we couldn't talk with the government to have a new agreement about the social work salary. So we know, we already know that something will happen in my second year in college, sorry. And we set all the friends in the university, and we thought, what can we do? What we can, how we can prepare to this, for this time that the agreement will be open. So we decided to do something. So now if we can go to the presentation that we made.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this situation takes us to the point where you are nearing qualification as a social worker.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, you're telling us that in Israeli society, the salaries for social workers nationally had been frozen for a period of 20 years.
Yes.
And in that time period, what effect had inflation had, for example, on salaries? So how much did the social work salary kind of decrease in value, roughly?
So as a younger social worker, your salary was, the base salary was like 2,200 shekel. Decent job, for 100%.
For a full-time job,
yeah.
Per week or per month?
For months.
I thought it was per month, but I just wanted to have you say it.
Yeah, for months. So the salary was lower than the minimum wage in Israel, and then you're going to work, and then they give you a salary, and then your pensions and your all your saving is about, it's taken from the 2,000, and they give you the other money, another bunch of money to get to the minimum wage. So it means that if you want to prepare your life to the future and you want to save a decent pension, and you want to have money for when you're going to be old, it means that you need to find another place to get the money from, because the money that they give you to saving is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So so you're getting like the minimum wage, but the money that they're giving you for your pension is from the 2000.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that. So now let's come to some of the images of you a nearly qualified social worker helping to lead some social change. And we come to that initial. So do you want to explain?
So people can see the pictures that we're putting here. Yeah, so this is like a very, they can see over there? Yeah, so this is like from the main demonstration, like we did after 2 weeks of a strike. And just give you the knowledge what was my situation over there. I was one of the leaders of the protest. I was in the main one of the. Now you cannot hear it, but I have a very strong noise when I'm shouting. So I was I was in the center of the demonstration. But before that, I want to tell you a little bit about how we get to this situation. So if we can go to the other slide. So first of all, the social work union is based in one of the biggest union in Israel, the Istadrut. The Istadrut is the main union in Israel. Mm-hmm. And it's more than 500,000 of people are union through the Istadrut. And Israel, you need to remember that Israel is around 8 million people now. So 500,000 in Israel, it's a big, big number. So it's it's the most strong union in Israel. It's related to the Avodah party, the party that built Israel.
The Labour Party.
The Labour Party. Yeah. So inside of that, you can see now on the screen. Yeah, you can put that. This is like, this is a symbol of the Social Work Union. And the Social Work Union is one of the biggest union inside of the Istadrut in terms of people, not in terms of power, because you have another union that have more power inside of the Istadrut. For example, the port have a strong union, and the electricity company have a strong union. The union that have a power of shutting down the country have a very strong power inside of the Istadrut. So every time that you want to go to speak with the government, you need to go through the Social Work Union, through the Istadrut, and they are your delegate for the government. They go and tell the government what they want for the social worker. So we saw that we didn't have a strong leadership. 20 years of leadership that didn't understand that they need to prepare for the day of the open of the agreements. And then my friend and I decided that we need to do something. We need to build a movement that will make change inside of the union, inside of the social worker union and the Istadrut union. And then we build this this organization. In Hebrew, it said Osim Shinui. If we translate to English, it said making change. Mm-hmm. And it's a student organization that promotes social work in Israel. And it was a very unique and first experience for me to build an organization from the ground, to talk with other university, with other students, and say, we need you to come together to build your own group on your university and starting organized, because you know, in few months from now, we're going to have a strike. We're going to work with the government to have a better salary for a social worker in Israel. So this is something that took a lot of my time, and it was very funny, because you're going to the university, and the university they teach you about Halinsky. He is a very famous social worker in Chicago that he did a lot of organizing in Chicago against City Hall. And you're taking what you learn in class and doing it. Like, you go to class, 1 hour after that, you're doing the same, like exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very good feeling for us that we're making what we're learning in the university for us. So I think this is what helped us go to the other university and build all the group all around, and then the day is coming that we need to go to a strike, and of course the union was not prepared, and they decide that they're going to get 100 shekel more for the people and it will be okay and everything will be fine. And we went to all the protests of the union. We were the biggest crowd over there. Mm-hmm. The union decided that he's going to use the color white for the protest. As you can see, we decide differently. We use the red color. Mm-hmm. And all the protest was completely red. All the social worker saw in the first demonstration that all the students coming with red. So they said, oh, we're going to come to the next demonstration with red as well. So we went to all the protests, and then when the union said that they're going to close the deal with the government, we said, we're not going to accept this deal. And we started to protest against our union. We started to make pressure against our unit to not sign the deal with the government. And they wanted to do 1 week, Shivita.
A strike.
Yeah, one week a strike. And because of our precedent, it was 3 weeks. Sorry, 3 weeks strike. And they went twice to speak with the government, and we didn't get what we want. But from this day on, our union was completely different. People understand that they represent the people. And after that, we had our election, and we changed the head of our union.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 5 years, we had a very good union head, but my group thought that we need a better one, and it's developed. Some of us went inside of the union because we became a social workers, and we built our own group inside of the union with people that already was social worker when we was student. It's called Atidenu, our future. And I'm pleased to say that 3 months ago, one of our people was elected as the head of our union. And now it's going to be very, very unique time, because this year the agreement is open again. And okay, we will see what will happen.
Yeah. I sense a great deal of pride in your achievements. Yeah. And it sounds like you made a move from what in one sense seems like a very traditional Jewish setting, although in a kibbutz, to something that we might describe as quite radical, and a position we might describe as quite radical. How do you compare those two in yourself?
So I think it's less where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
As a shaliach, as an emissary of Israel. And I think that it's not conflict, because Israel, it's a place that you have a lot of different views and a lot of different people. It's a state. You have so many different people over there. And it's a place that I believe need to celebrate more diversity and celebrate more your own identity. And I think that when I went to be an activist as in the union, it came from my background. It came from my religious place. It came from when I went to my grandfather and say, "Oh, we built this country, and we wanted to be a good place for you. We wanted to have a Jewish state that you can feel related to, and it's your house, it's your only house. So you need to make it better. You need to work to have a place that you will be proud on."
Thank you for that, Oded. Yeah. It's an interesting bringing together of those different parts of your life.
Yeah.
So you fought for this change in the status of social workers. You worked a little as a social worker.
Yeah.
And then you decided to leave the country, leave Israel.
Yeah.
And go out of the land to represent Israel.
Yeah, so
made that change for you?
So just give you the mind what I did. I went, after I finished the university, the Jewish agency offered me to go to be a shaliach in California to work with students. I went to do that for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
came back to Israel, work as a community organizer in Jerusalem for 4 years, something like that. I work with all the different communities in Jerusalem. And after that, I went to work in Jaffa in a different environment, in a different community. It was more Arabs and Jewish people that living together and try to build bridges inside of the neighborhood. And then the Jewish agency offered me to come here to this lovely community in Redwood. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself that it's a great opportunity to me to bring my identity and my knowledge about Israel to this community. And I thought it's something that a lot of people can relate it here. And it's not usually that people with my background doing a shlichut, but this is what I believe, that when you're doing a shlichut, you're bringing your own Israel, and you, like we already said, like you bring people to Israel, and you bring Israel to the community, and you bring your own Israel to the community. Mm-hmm. So this is, it's for me, it's something, it's natural, like it's something, it's combined together. Yeah. I'm sure that I'm going back to Israel. I will still try to fix and change and make it better communities in Israel.
Yeah. Okay. That's really helpful. Let me just, before we come into your shlichut, you touched on working with all the communities of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And then how different it was in Yafo when you went there. I just wonder if you could expand a little bit on the variety of different communities you engaged with in Jerusalem and what your sense was of them.
So what I like in Jerusalem, that Jerusalem is like a microcosmos of Israel. You can see Palestinians, Arabs, you can see Haredic over there, you can see secular over there, you can see Reform, Liberal, Orthodox, everybody want to live in Jerusalem. So I work in Ginot Ha'ir. It's a community council in Jerusalem. It was mainly it was a Jewish neighborhood, and the beautiful in my neighborhood it was that you have all the different spectrum of Judaism in my neighborhood. You have Haredic, you have secular, you have reform, you have liberal, you have conservative. Everybody live in the same neighborhoods. So it's really give me as a community organized a place to make a lot of different events and different movements to make change in the city. And like I can bring for an activist group, a person that is a Haredic, and he sit near a Reform rabbi. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that will happen if, for example, I want them to talk about religion. But if I want them to talk about how we're going to fix the road or how we want to fix the playground, everybody will come because everybody will send their children to the playground. So everybody mm-hmm. wants to say something. And then they're sitting together and they're not going to talk just about the playground. They're going to talk about different things. And this is how we build connection and building bridges inside of the different community in Jerusalem. And when I moved to Jaffa, it was a completely different thing. It was a very, very weak neighborhood in terms of economic.
Very poor.
And actually there, over there, it was, they already lived together for so many years. So the coexisted was something that was very, very natural to them. Like they live in the same building, like Arabs and Jewish people live in the same building. I'm not saying that you don't have problems. Always, you have problems in every society, in every community. But it was very good to see that if you invite them to something, it's everybody knows that it's open for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not a question that everybody knows that if you have an event, everybody is invited. Yeah.
So very different experience. It's helpful to hear.
Yeah.
So after all this, you've come here to Redbridge, and You said just now, I think quite instructively, that you bring your Israel, and also in one sense, everybody's Israel. We sometimes talk about the separation between representing the state of Israel and representing the government of Israel.
Yeah.
So which do you represent?
So I'm here from the Jewish Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jewish Agency is not a formal representative of the
government?
Of the government, yeah. It's representative of the Jewish people that built Israel. We need to remember that the Jewish agency is, I think, more than 100 years old. And she was the first organization that helped build the country. But now it's very different. Now you have in the Jewish agency, you have representatives for all around the world, like always, and it's trying to make a better Israel, trying to make a better society in Israel. Is she responsible about the Aliyah, helping people to come to Israel? I spoke about working in a youth village. The Jewish agency have a youth village in Israel that's helping people that don't need to send their children to a better place, a safer place to learn. So she doing that, and she had a lot of other amazing activity in Israel that they're doing to build a stronger society. And so I think that I'm here to build bridges between Israel, the state of Israel, and I can say the government as well, and the people that live here and all around, and this is what the other shtechem doing all around the world.
Thank you. So we're all aware that Israel has many ways, some it chooses, some it doesn't choose, of being in the spotlight in the media. But what are the things that you would say go on in Israel that are the good stuff that never gets to the public's attention?
So you can hear from what I did as a community organizer that you have so many ground movements that's coming from the ground that's making so many things in Israel. For example, in Israel, one of the things that didn't talk about, I was very active about public transportation in Israel. So you have a lot, me and another young people in Israel that really want Israel to have a better public transportation in Israel. So you have a lot of young movement in Israel that really want to make change, really want to, and they're making it. They're making like the, I'm not talking about just, for example, working with the government. It's something that we're doing, but they like making changes on the ground. For example, a group that decides that they're going to doing like an art form all around Tel Aviv, and they're making it. And you wake up in the morning and you see an art performer in the middle of Tel Aviv. You have a lot of cultural things that usually you don't heard about outside of Israel that's happening. If you heard about Burning Man in California, in Israel you have like the same, like the second biggest festival that people are doing. It's called the I forgot it, but
we'll come back to it if it comes.
So
there's a lot
of community
grassroots, we could call it community work going on. Lovely. Thank you.
Midburn, the name of the...
Say that again?
Midburn, the same of the festival. Yeah, so you have a lot of that, and people, usually when we talk about Israel here, unfortunately, we talk just about the conflict. The conflict is a very main thing in our society. It's not something that we need to put aside. But sometimes we forget that Israel is a country and we have so many different things over there.
Very true. And that aspect of Israel needing to grow up just to be a normal country like every other country in the world is very much there. Like a lot of countries, and we can associate with that, the question of migration and migration into Israel has also been a big political question.
Yes.
And coming to a very topical issue, you will be aware, and many of our audience here and online will be aware, that a former Israeli government minister, Gideon Sa'ar, was interviewed on Sunday night at the Zionist Federation's dinner. And that interview and the way it went and his description of what he refused to accept was deportation of asylum seekers from Africa led to two progressive rabbis first heckling and then walking out of that interview. So bringing your work and your life experience to date, what are your thoughts on that issue?
So first of all, I need to say that I was not there. So I didn't know, I don't know what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that we know it's a problem. And we know that it's not something that happened now. It's a problem that the Israeli government not dealing for many years. And this is why we have so many people seeking asylum in Israel, because they didn't build the wall in the border with Egypt, and they didn't build an organization that will be on the board to say who needs asylum, who didn't need asylum. Just tell everybody, okay, you're coming to Israel, we're going to put you on a bus, and we're going to throw you in Tel Aviv, and we're not going to deal with you. And because of that, we have a situation now in Israel that you have a lot of people that nobody knows if they need the asylum or they just emigrate, or who is those people. And what I think that the government really need to think is how they're going to solve it and how they're going to build a system that will check who need asylum in Israel, because Israel signed agreement, the UN agreement that they that they will get refugees inside the country if refugees will come to Israel. And they need to see who is refugee or who is not. And if we will say about, we see the statistics between the people that get asylum here or in Germany, you will see that Israel not giving, they give it very, very low amounts of people asylum in Israel. For example, when I work in my youth movement, I have a student that came from Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
It came from Sudan, and he was in the beginning, it was 12 years ago. It was the first people that came, so the government back then decided they're going to give asylum, but between then and now we have more than 50,000 people in Israel that we need to see what's the future with them. And so I think it's very comfortable. It's not a black and white situation. But what I think that the government say, if you want to send people away from Israel, okay, you want to send them, you need to find them a better place to go. Now they want to send them back to Africa. Mm-hmm. Send them back to Africa, it's not helping anybody. They need to work, for example, to work with Germany, to work with the UK. I'm just saying, it's not going to happen. But if you want to send them, you need to send them to a better place. You want mm-hmm. to give them a better life. So it's a big thing. And if we talk about the movement, one of the big movements that is rising now in Tel Aviv, it's a movement that fighting the government against this this decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the government say we're going to send everybody, we're not going to see who is a refugee or who is not. So I think it's something that the government need to think again what they're going to do with that. For example, I can say as the Jewish agency sent a letter to the government saying we have 500 children, refugee children in our youth village. We want them to stay in Israel. And I really, really appreciate my supervision in Israel from the Jewish agency that they sent this letter. So I think something needs to be changed in the policy.
Thank you for that, Oded. Yeah. That's very helpful. We have about 2 or 3 minutes before we come to questions from people both here and wherever they are listening to this and watching this. So I just want to ask you before we turn to the questions, what do you see yourself doing in about 5 years' time?
Oh, it's a good question. I think I have two things that I'm thinking. First of all, maybe I will stay in the Jewish agency, do something in the Jewish agency in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really want to work in an organization that's making social change in Israel. I volunteer a lot in this spectrum, but I didn't work in an organization like that. So this is two of the ways that I think I will go when I'm going back to Israel 2 years from now, after I finish my program here.
That's lovely. Thank you. Yeah. So either of those definitely sees you back.
Yeah.
Back in Israel and contributing to society there.
Yes.
These conversations are headed about with the term progressive Israel. Yeah. And how do you see the forces for a progressive Israel faring in Israel over the next 5 to 10 years?
So I think Israel is dealing with something that all the world is dealing with. We're dealing with a society that the part getting moved from the other one, the right going this way, the left going this way. And I think Israel have the same situation as Israel as well. I think Israel, as you can see, we don't need to, you can see the election. The right wing is have a more strong base in Israel in the last decade, and I don't think it's something that's going to change. And I think it's all around the world, it's something that happened. People started to think more carefully about the future and more carefully about what the future holds. And they decide to be more and more conservative. So I think that it's not something that's unique to Israel, and it's something that it's happening all around the world, here in America as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's completely okay. This is what people believe, and it's okay. But we need to think very strong how we build a strong society. How, because we are on the same boat. We are the Jewish people, and this, we have just one country, and we need to keep it very, very in a good shape, because it's a place that everybody needs to feel that this is their home. As a Jewish country, and it's something that we need to make. We're working in the Jewish agency in Israel. I think a lot of people working that to make Israel a place that it will be open to everybody else.
Yeah. Thank you, Oded. Yeah. My very final question, and a quick question, I hope a quick answer, and then we'll come back to Carrie for the first of the questions.
Yeah.
Is what can our audience this evening do to help create that sanctuary, that home for every Jew, whatever their persuasion, whatever their leaning, whatever their right, left, center, off the spectrum position?
So be more involved. You need to read more. You need to see, to try to read not just the headlines, and see that we have, Israel is a beautiful place. It's a place that you have so many different culture. You can go, in one day you can do skiing in the north and go and drive to Eilat to swim in the sea. And and we need to remember that it's not just what we see on the news. You have so many different things that you can do in Israel, but we need, like I said, we need to help it to be a better place. And we need to protect her very much here and in Israel as well.
Thank you very much, Oded. That's been very insightful and fascinating to hear. Carrie, where are we with some questions?
Hi. I am here, just turning back on. Thanks, that worked great. Thank you guys so much. We'll give a few minutes. There's a few people online as well to see if they want to submit anything. As a reminder, if you weren't on last week's session, in the middle of your screen, there's a chat element. That's where you can actually open that up and send questions through, which I will see. We do have a couple that sort of had come in previously as well. So let me pull those up here for you guys. So I'll ask sort of the first one, because I think it works chronologically for you, Oded. The question is about, you know, growing up on a kibbutz. How do you feel like that influenced the rest of your life? Clearly, there's a path that you've kind of said it's really run through everything. And do you ever see yourself returning to the kibbutz life?
Oh, it's a good question. So I think one of the things that you heard when I talk about social work and when I talk about social changing in Israel, something that came from the kibbutz. My kibbutz is very small kibbutz. And now it's not a kibbutz, actually, because in Israel, a lot of kibbutz decided, because of the economic, decided they're going to be like a regular moshav. And so we have a section that is not a kibbutz, and people just can buy their houses over there. So I don't know if in the future I will go there. I know that my two of my sister are living there near my parents. So so it's the future will hold. I really like the city now. You heard that I talk a little bit about public transportation. So in cities you have more opportunity to work on public transportation, not in the kibbutz. Mm-hmm. But it's a very, I think if when I will have children in the future, this is a place that I want to grow my children, because it's a very green and it's a very safe environment to grow children. Yeah.
Thank you for that one. Yeah. Carrie.
Oded, there's a question that's come in that is asking more about the work that you did in Jaffa, sort of that bridge building with the community there. If you could tell us a little bit more about that, I think that would be really appreciated.
So I work in south of Jaffa, and it was a very unique neighborhood. It was one of the poorest neighborhoods in Jaffa, and it was built from neighborhoods that the government built in the beginning of the state, and Bedouin place that the government didn't do, that the Israel didn't do anything over there. Just they build whatever they want, and the coexisting between two of this group. And after several years, just people from the Bedouin village started to move and live to buy houses inside of the buildings that the government built. And what we did there, mainly I work with women over there. We try to build a leadership women movement over there to make the education better in the neighborhood, and to make we did like a neighborhood holiday that everybody go out and everybody brings the old culture and doing like a small, everybody have a small table and someone making art, somebody selling his food that he's making home, somebody talk about what he's doing in his job, just a place that everybody can hang out together. And it was this is what we're trying to build, more and more relationship between the group. And I was there for just 1 year, so it's not in a community organized world is a very, very short time. Mm. Usually when you're doing a social change, a community organized, you say that you need 3 years to have a meaningful program. So I was lucky that somebody started this program, and I just just came inside of the program and helping the people doing this activity. Another thing that we didn't have a cinema in the neighborhood, and they will not take the bus to Tel Aviv to see a movie, because it's going to take them 1 hour just to get to the closed cinema. So we provide movies in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. and the people that sell the ticket was from the neighborhood. The people that make the popcorn was from the neighborhood, and we decide and we really bring movies that they like. For example, they really like movie from India, So we bring a movie from India. This is what they like. This is what we bring. So it was very nice thing to see. It was a community movie. So, yeah.
I like the idea of Bollywood in Jaffa.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice. Carrie, do you have other questions coming in?
So I have one other question here. And it kind of talks about your youth village days. And they were asking why, what made you want to go there from sort of this kid who grew up on a fairly religious kibbutz? What was the draw there? You know, most people after they serve in the military, they go trekking in South America or, you know, other locales of that. And for you to really take that time out, what led you there? What it called to you?
So I think it was, this is one of the things that came from my education. This is one of the things that I learned from my home and from my kibbutz, that you need to always think how you make your society better. And when I went to the youth village, first of all, it was a religious village. So this is like, as a person that came from a religious background, it was easier thing to do. But actually, when I went there, this is the first time that I was exposed for a liberal Judaism, because all of our donors was a reform that came from America. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time, actually, that I heard the term Tikkun Olam. I had it in my mind. I know that we needed to do it, but this is the first time that I heard that this term is the term that we have in Judaism. So it was very interesting. So I think it was one of the things that led me where I am today. Yeah.
If I may, one final question that struck me around that period of time. You also talked about doing some of your service in Gaza. And that would have been in the early 2000s, before it was handed back in 2005. Yeah. I just wondered if you could perhaps give us an indication of what it felt like to be going into that area.
In the army, or when I was in the one gap year?
You went there in the army, I think.
I went there twice. I was there.
Both times?
Yeah. So when I was in the gap year over there, it was paradise. Because you are living in the settlement. The settlement are not connected to the Palestinian. You can see the Palestinian, but because it's very close to Rafiah. Rafiah is one of the cities in Gaza. But it's near the sea. It's a beautiful place. And for me, it was beautiful. But after you went to the army, you understand that for this paradise, somebody have a price that is paying. So I was there just for 2 weeks when I was in the army. So I didn't see a lot, but you need to remember that Gaza, it's a different situation from the West Bank. Mm-hmm. It's more extremist people over there. And it's unfortunately now you have the Hamas over there that I don't think that they want to talk with us, but it was the same thing back then. So it was very different. You will not see the Palestinians, except the people that coming to work in the settlements, because it was very, very dangerous. In the West Bank, you can see more people, and when we talk about the difficult things that we have in the conflict, it's more in it's more when we talk about the West Bank than we talk about Gaza. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Quite an experience again. Yeah. And Carrie, I think we should be wrapping up. So I would just like to say thank you to Oded Varam for talking to us this evening. Yeah. To Carrie and to the various supporters of the Alliance, who she mentioned at the beginning of this this broadcast, that have enabled this program to happen, to everyone who's come here this evening here at LL's and whoever has tuned in to this wherever you are tuning in from. Next week, same time, same day, but hosted at Northwood and Pinner Liberal Synagogue, there will be a conversation between Rabbi Oded Mazor, who is a wonderful teacher and leader based at the Leobek Educational Center in Haifa, and Rabbi Aaron Goldstein, the senior rabbi of that synagogue, Northwood and Pinner. And they will be in conversation in a very different manner next week. So I urge you all to join us again next week. That's all from me. Carrie, I'm just going to hand back to you if there's any final messages you want to add. But from Oded and from me, I wish you well. Good night.
Thank you again, and thank you to both of you. You really have made the night memorable, and I hope everyone who watched and will watch in the future, both here and on the World Wide Web, so to speak, has enjoyed the evening. Oded, you know, we really thank you for your time. I think, you know, I know you're at Redbridge JCC. I hope people who are local are able to engage with you more there. There's plenty of activities coming up, and there will be information in the follow-up email, as usual, that can link you to that, as well as to the Jewish Agency for sending you to us, which is really wonderful. And thank you so much, Rabbi, for your community being willing to host us this evening. I really do appreciate it. And again, as you mentioned, the Alliance Israel Desk, with all of the partners that I mentioned earlier, we really thank you for engaging with us. We thank you for participating, and we wish you all a good evening and do hope to see you again next week. Thank you again and have a wonderful evening.